Hi, this is Peter Wingfield. I play Mythos on Highlander, and you're listening to The Blood of Kings.
Welcome, Highlander fans, to Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast here on the Fandom Podcast Network. On the show, we cover everything from the Highlander universe, and on this special episode, we're going to discuss an upcoming awesome event that you should all take part in. Welcome to Blood of Kings. We are talking about the Highlander Worldwide WatcherCon being held this August 21st and 22nd, 2021. My name is Kevin. I'm one of your Blood of Kings Highlander podcast hosts. Please welcome my co-host, Lee Fillingsness.
Hey, everybody. How you doing? This is really pretty cool to be here. You know, the last con that happened was at 2017.
Yes.
I got
Los Angeles. Yeah.
I got a medical diagnosis that precluded me from flying for a month. So I wasn't able to do that one. Wasn't able to do Mythos because of COVID. And I was not able to do Lakeland because I got some good advice from Daryl Kyle about how things were going. So this will be my first Highlander convention. Finally, I am a huge Highlander nerd, and I can do this. You know, if I miss this, it's an excuse. Like, I don't even have a reason at this point, so I'm excited.
Wait, there's an asteroid heading towards the Earth. It's all been canceled. Sorry, Lee.
Fair enough.
You have us laughing. You have us laughing on that Lakeland comment. John lost it there, literally. Please welcome our special guest, John Mosby. John, how are you, sir?
I'm very good. How are you guys?
Awesome. Absolutely. It's great to have you on as always, man.
Yeah, we're really excited to have you on and to talk about something fun that's coming up instead of someone that we lost in Highlander. So it's nice to look forward to something here. And it's nice that Highlander, John, is, you know, it's slowly coming back. I mean, obviously, it's always around for us hardcore fans, but we feel like Highlander is making a resurgence in pop culture in general. Right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's always creeping forward a little bit. I mean, the long running joke is, of course, you know, when is the movie going to happen? When's it going to happen? Is it going to happen now? What's happening? Is this bit accurate? And it's inching forward, but it does seem that we're inching forward quicker now, even if we're not sort of jumping forward.
Yes.
I've got high hopes.
Yes.
Now
yes. We're going to touch on that towards the end of this podcast, but Lee, we got to talk about what's happening very soon. And that's why we want to get this podcast out as soon as possible. And we are talking about WatcherCon. And I'm looking on the website here and it says WatcherCon, a virtual Highlander convention that will run on Saturday, the 21st and Sunday, the 22nd, this August, 2021 in your living room. Over 2 days, the online event will bring a raft of talent to, well, watch on your TV or monitor. Some of those faces are familiar fan favorites. Some have never attended a Highlander Worldwide event before, with a mixture of live panels with audience questions, recorded interviews, an opportunity to catch up with old friends in the lobby area, merchandise booths, and more. The same team that brought you the physical Highlander Worldwide events for over the two decades will be literally virtually unbeatable. We're looking forward to seeing you again. So, John, you have your hands deep into this development of the WatcherCon here. Can you do us a favor and explain the origins of it? And the reason why I wanted to ask you this is because after the last Highlander Worldwide live event that we had in Los Angeles, we know how exhausting it was for you and Carmel and everyone to go there, but you guys did a wonderful job there. We weren't sure if anything was ever going to happen again. So how did this come about?
I mean, we were very proud of everything to 2017 in Los Angeles. I think that exceeded beyond anybody's expectations. You know, all conventions start off as this would be a good idea, and you progress it slowly down the road until it becomes real, and then it grows and grows. And that's exactly what happened with 2017. And as we said, you're quite right at the end of it. We don't know whether there will be any more conventions. And that was for two reasons. One, they take a lot to put together. They do. I mean, people turn up, you know, as an attendee, people turn up and have a good time. They see things going on, but they see the weekend. When you're organizing a convention, it's quite often 6 months, sometimes even more, sometimes a year, of slowly planning things, of putting cogs in place to make a clock work. It's very similar to that. And that requires a lot of time, energy, and frankly, money as well. A lot of upfront money that, you know, people put up, that, you know, there's a risk there. Suppose COVID had happened, you know, 6 months or, you know, 2 or 3 months before the last event. That would have, you know, screwed everything up completely, to be honest. And there's all those things you cannot tell. What if somebody becomes ill? What if there's so many reasons something can't happen? So every time we did a convention, it was like, do we want to do this? Yeah, we've got to make it the best we've ever done. And I think we did make it the best we'd ever done. People were interested in coming. People wanted to celebrate. People called us and said, hey, I hear something's happening. You know, can I help out in any way? That's a really good position to be in. And we celebrated and, you know, we commiserated. And it was one of those events that I don't think will ever be repeated in quite that emotional way.
It was quite amazing.
You know, so many fun. So in some ways, the question was, why would we do another convention? Because it could never be, you could only equal. I don't think you could make it better. It would have to be something different. And we were tired. And it was the end of, like, there are lots of people like yourselves who do, you know, there's podcasts, there's a thriving fan community. It almost felt like the passion of the torch saying, okay, we probably won't be able to do as many of these physical conventions anymore. So let's see what happens. But in the meantime, it's great. WatcherCon was a very different in many ways. It's not a physical convention. You know, there has been this little thing called a pandemic that some of you may have heard of. And it's been a crazy year for a lot of people, not a very good 18 months for a lot of people. So we were not remotely thinking of running a particularly a physical convention. It just couldn't have been done, really. I mean, I know some conventions are easing back into the schedules, but a lot of people, the organizers, are having a lot of problems. A lot of the things like San Diego recently just couldn't happen. Mm-hmm. And then Adrian, who's doing the Solid Experience, was talking about doing a small virtual online convention. And some of us were going to help out. And it was like, oh, this is great. You know, I did the Holy Grounded with Kareem and some of the Highlander people last year. It's great. Why not? It's a new frontier. But I know Adrian had a lot of other productions and a lot of other things and responsibilities he had to do. And it became very clear within, I think, about a couple of weeks of him saying this was on the cards, that it just wouldn't be able to do that on top of all the stuff that he had commitments to do, because it does take a lot of time. So Carmel had a conversation and just said, look, it's a great idea. Yeah, chances are you can be, you know, absolutely involved, even though you have other commitments, because you wouldn't have to be there all the time organizing everything. What if we do it instead? Yeah, would you mind us, you know, stepping into the void? And you know, Adrian was very forthcoming of that and just said, no, that's great. I still want to do stuff as much as I can. So it's like, okay. And then we started reaching out to people, and it escalated. It has to be said. It's done, you know, over the last week or so, the last 2 weeks since we formally announced it. Yeah, it's kind of gone that people want that connection again. And it's great that you don't have to leave your living room, and yet you can still see all these faces, you know, have some interaction, and also see some fellow fans. In the lobby area that we'll have. It's like the best of both worlds, I think.
I wanted to mention something we recently participated in, and Lee, I wanted to get your thoughts again on this, because this is the 35th anniversary, 2021, of the original 1986 Highlander. And we all got to be part of that, awesome Highlander podcast super show, Lee. And so in a way, that was kind of a little mini convention, too, if you think about it, like an online convention.
Yeah, it was kind of like getting the Avengers together. And it was just the coolest and weirdest, Keith really was kind of running the show. But it was a very fluid conversation and a lot of fun. You know, those guys are crazy. Love them, love their show. I've listened to every episode so far. And Yeah, I think though this, you know, being able to bring in the other fans too, because I mean, let's be honest, when there's eight podcast hosts all sitting there at one time and then two authors and everything else, there's definitely some stuff to go over, but I'm almost as looking forward to the kind of those breakout rooms as anything else, or the lobby rather.
Yeah, John, I want to ask you, with this being the 35th anniversary of Highlander, did that come into play at all when you were organizing this? Is it something that you wanted to make sure you got out this year?
It was something, I mean, it was something that, as Adrian had originally was talking about during the summer, so that gave us a time frame. We could have said way down the road, but it became a thing where we thought, well, the summer seems to be the ideal time. Those of us, you know, who work in the school system will be going back to school, you know, in the late August, September. And a lot of people, you know, people have kids, and it becomes more chaotic after that. We could have done it maybe closer to Christmas, but with physical cons, there is so much, you know, there's the hotel, there's travel, there's so much. In some ways, it strips down all the outside stuff and takes it right down to the talent meeting the fans. So it didn't make a lot of sense to keep it away too long. As long as we got information out about the guests and the time, that the rest of it, you know, we scurry around in the background doing all the technical side of it. But for the attendees, it was like, actually, I don't need 6 months, 8 months notice to organize stuff. Yeah, you know, what am I doing that week? I can probably get, you know, in 6 weeks from when we originally announced it.
Right.
I can probably get that day off if I work weekends, or I can arrange to be doing stuff. So it didn't make sense to wait too long. And as you say, because it's a celebration this year, this whole time frame is a celebration of Highlander, the new and the old and everything in between. It seemed like just another, you know, the anniversary seemed like just another reason that it was a good idea.
Yeah, it's funny because I felt August was perfect because, you know, to be honest, you guys just sprung it on us recently, but it was like, what else am I doing in August? You know what I mean?
I mean, there are times when
everything else is still canceled or not happening, you know? So,
yeah, I mean, there are times when I've said before, it takes, in my estimation, if you're doing a physical convention, it takes a good 6 to 8 months to do it properly. From the, yes, we're going to do this through to the first day of the convention. If you're doing it in under 8 months, chances, not saying you're going to cut corners, but it takes 8 months, right? I think, to get everything in line, to make sure you've got enough people, everything else. With this, it didn't need that. The things we've got to make sure that work this time are the technical side and the availability. And that's pretty much it in the logistical side. There's lots of stuff that surrounds that, but yeah, as you say, it was one where we didn't need 6 months. We go, okay, I think we can do this in 6 to 7 weeks, as long as we get the support, and amazing support from everybody.
Yep, and I'll go ahead on that. I do a convention here in the Twin Cities, and we start prep, you know, and it's every year, same place, same time, same weekend, and we still start prep for a July convention in December and January. And I got to say, I'm envious because we were trying to figure out how to do it last year. The tech wasn't up to doing a convention just yet. So we ended up canceling it.
And this is the thing, one of the things, again, you're saying about the origins of it. We're using the structure that Adrian uses for the Sword Experience virtual comms. So I know Carmel had some experience with that, helping out with Adrian with those. So we have the infrastructure there. We just got to make sure that it will handle what we want to do and vice versa. So right now we've got, you know, all the Highlander worldwide people are kind of scurrying around, including myself, just making sure that we're familiar with the nuances of the system. But without jinxing anything, it's going remarkably well. And it's just a matter of making sure everything works on the day, the same way that everything has to work in a real, you know, real physical convention on the day. We just handle it a little different.
That's awesome. Well, let's get into some more details about this. And Lee, feel free to jump in and ask any questions when you want here. So all the information for WatcherCon can be found on the HighlanderWorldwide.com website there. There's also the Highlander Worldwide Facebook page. And there's a link on the Highlander WatcherCon, Highlander Worldwide for the guest as well. And I thought, let's just get right into the guest here. You have an impressive list here, guys. You have Adrian Paul, Elizabeth Grayson, David Abramowitz, Alexander Vandernoot, Peter Hudson, Tracy Scoggins, Amanda Wiss, Ken Gord, Jillian Horvath, Donna Leto, Richard Martin, F. Braun McAsh, James Horan, Richard Ridings, and Marcus Testry. And it's amazing. I mean, where did you even start here, John?
We're lucky. I mean, Carmel can speak to this even much better than I can. But people trust Highlander worldwide. Mm-hmm. We know how to do conventions. It's not, as we said before, it's not easy. It's very difficult, but it's huge fun. It's really rewarding, and it requires a huge amount of trust. And we're honored the fact that these guys trust us. We have a track record. You know, we're not just somebody who said, "Hey, let's put a con together and, you know, let's try and reach people and hope they want to come." These people, a lot of people have come before. They know that we put on a convention. We know we look after them. We know that fans are respectful, that the organizers are respectful. And it's one of those things that as soon as you say we might be doing something, people are genuinely interested to start off with. Yeah, you know, I've had a couple of emails whenever we've done the last two or three conventions. I know Carmel said this as well. You start getting emails by people going, "I've heard you doing a convention. Oh, that's going to be cool." And, you know, people want to be guests as much as us inviting them. So it's fantastic that we've got some of our regular supporters, that, you know, the people who have the stars, the actors, the people behind the scenes like David Abramowitz, Ken Gordon, everybody who just, you know, we just got a great relationship with and who love being involved, and we love them being involved. And we wanted to reach out and maybe bring some people in who hadn't done a Highlander Worldwide con before. In fact, may have not really done a Highlander con before, and mix it up a little bit. See if we can maybe for some of the panels that will come up, and we're still scheduling that at the moment, but maybe get people who haven't shared the stage before, shared the screen perhaps, but not shared the stage, and mix it up a little bit. We can do that. The logistics for a physical convention, well, that's difficult to bring in that variety of people who are often based in completely different geographical areas. Less difficult when they can be at home. And they just have to, you know, beam in from where they are. I know everybody's looking forward to it. That's it. You know, we work well with these people. They trust us. We trust them, and they're excited as well. You know, they're going online and saying to people, "Hey, this is what I'm doing." But yeah, it's not just me. Look who else is coming. It's going to be great. We can chat, and stuff. That feels good. It brings all the qualities of a physical convention. And you can still be, you know, sitting on your couch eating your Cheetos and enjoying everything as well. So it's the best of both worlds.
Kind of feeling like there's an opportunity here to just solve one of the great Highlander fan debates. Amanda or Tessa, they will be on, you know, get them on together. Ooh. You know, I mean, whatever, you know, if it's a trivia contest or Jell-O wrestling, whatever it happens to be, I feel like we have an opportunity to just kind of solve that, because that's... You know, I mean, that's still, you know, I mean, 25 years later, we're still arguing about that one.
Yeah, if only we could get Anne Lindsay, Dr. Anne as well. That would be a win.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've got Tracy Scoggins in there,
Duncan's,
too.
Duncan's, like, favorite loves or something like that, yes.
Oh, if we were talking Duncan's favorite loves, we'd have to have a week-long convention.
Yeah, and you have to throw in Hugh Fitzcarron as well, so.
And it was definitely a bromance.
Yeah. Okay, Lee, I got to ask you a question, Lee. I know you're excited about all these guests here. We're fans of everyone. I got to ask you, though, is there one that you're kind of geeking out about?
Honestly, Alexandra Vandernoot. She's had such a fantastic career in film, both in American film and film in France and all over Europe. She was in this fantastic comedy that was remade in the United States with The Dinner of Idiots, or... But in French, it's called Dîner de Cons. It's with...
Are you talking about Dinner for Schmucks?
Yes, Dinner for Schmucks. Yes. And the original is just this very funny, very dark, and very touching movie. And it's with the late Jacques Villeray, who is a fantastic actor. He passed away, I want to say 2004, 2005. But just brilliant actor, brilliant comedic timing. And just the effect that she had on Highlander, the effect that she had to a kid, you know, watching, you know, season two and being like, did they just kill her? The most shocking Highlander moment, I think, yeah. You know, even more so than Richie. And then seeing her in the final episode again and realizing, you know, just the effect that she had on a series that she was gone from for three seasons.
Right.
You know, I think, you know, as I've said many times, I really do love season one. Warts and all, I love the visuals of it, and I love the setup, and I loved her character because she was truly independent a lot of times of the Duncan storyline. She was affected by it, but she had her own life. And, you know, I mean, of course, I'm going to go nuts for F. Ron McAsh. You know, just a fantastic... He's lived the life that I want. I mean, he trained under Bill Hobbs. He got to be the Highlander fight master, you know, I mean, all the crazy stuff that he's got to do, you know, and of course, all the other notables, you know, Adrian and Elizabeth and, you know, Abramovitz. I mean, come on, I could listen to that guy talk for hours.
Yeah, you guys have a wonderful guest list here. The one that I'm kind of geeking out about, though, to be honest with you, is Peter Hudson. In my mind, I always like to have really good villains as a discussion to talk about. Now, we see them in superhero films, we see them in television, we see them in other movies as well. And of like the top 10 villains of all time when it comes to television and movies, Peter Hudson as James Horton is in there for me. I absolutely love him. And I'm really excited that he's going to be part of this. I'm also excited about Amanda Wiss too coming on. I've been a fan of hers, and it's so funny. We're talking about on our Time Warp podcast. We're talking about the movies of 1981, and I happen to be watching a movie called Force 5, kind of like a martial arts, extravaganza with Joe Louis and Bong Soon-Han and Sonny Barnes and Richard Norton. And who was in that film? It's Amanda Wiss. So I was really excited that she was in there. I got to ask you, John, do you geek out about any of these guests? Are you particularly, I know you're excited for all of them and you're friends with a lot of them, but is there a couple that you're like, this is their first time coming and you're excited about it or something else?
It's always interesting when, I think most people who are coming to this have done conventions in the past. But there's nothing like meeting somebody who hasn't done a convention. I've met a few people over the years that haven't done conventions, and I sometimes help make connections. Say, oh, you know, if you're wanting so-and-so, they might be, and put people in contact. And I've seen people's first reaction at conventions, and they're like nervous going on stage and like, yeah, I've heard these are crazy people who dress up, you know, and accost you in the bathroom and, you know, and inappropriate and whatever. And they come away at the end of it going, that was great. When's the next? Can I go to another one? That's always been for me the wonderful reaction to see people get the positivity out of conventions. I remember meeting Peter Hudson for the first time. I think I'm right in saying it was Wolf 359 in the UK. And he's such a delightful guy, as you say, kind of like a villain personified on screen, great gravitas, you know, great intensity on screen, lovely guy in real life, you know, really couldn't be a nicer person, really funny, generous with his time. I remember Wolf 359 sitting down in the evening, and he was just sitting on the couch with a whole group of people, and he wasn't he was just talking with people, he wasn't like the center of attention or trying to be. Yeah, it probably ended up being the center of attention, but he was just chatting with everybody and socializing. And you mentioned Alexandra. I've only met her once. I think it was Wolf 359. I think they were both there. But she was always charming as well. It's the people who are sort of quite often the most intense people on screen are the nicest people in real life.
What was Wolf 359? Because that's a Star Trek reference.
No, well, it was a general science fiction convention in London in, I'm going to say, 1999, because I have a feeling it was between the two Chronicles events. Okay. Or just actually, no, it was the week after one of the Chronicles events.
Wolf 359 was also the battle between the Borg and the Federation.
And I think they had, it wasn't a Highlander event. Yeah. I think they had some Star Trek people there as well. It was a week after one of the Chronicles, either 98 or 99.
Okay.
Because Jill, my wife, was there as well.
Nice.
So it was 98 or 99. It was a fairly small convention. It was probably about a Highlander worldwide size, but this for the time was quite a big one. That it wasn't anything to do with anything I'd organized, but I attended it, and yeah, it was interesting. I think Marcus was there and Richard was there as well. Nice. Marcus Pistorius and Richard Riding. So there was a nice Highlander contingent, I think, but it wasn't just a Highlander event.
So you, we have an impressive list of guests here, but there still may be a few more to add.
I've got to consult my list as well, because we have so many that at this point, half the time I'm looking at them going like, oh yeah, we've added some more. We're hoping, and again, you know, there's various people want to come, and it's looking at their schedules and the like. Right now, I have just publicized the fact that Marcus Testori, Richard Ridings, and James Horan have gone up as we're recording this on the website. Real Andrews, who played Haresh Clay, is definitely hoping to be with us. And Musette Vander from the Valkyrie, which is, I don't know how many conventions she's done. She's never done one of our conventions before.
One of the more interesting villains in Highlander history. I really like their character in that. Yeah.
I think that's one. Isn't that one of the things that Highlander did well, particularly as it progressed?
Yeah, and it was. And she didn't fight Duncan. Duncan just had to kill her because she was becoming a domestic terrorist, basically.
I remember David, you know, David Abramowitz and Gillian Horvath and Donna all talking about the joy of Highlander. Yeah. And writing was exploring that. It's just like it's not very easy, but it's easier to just to make a quick good. Ha ha! I am evil. No, I'm a hero. Clash, clash, clash. I win. That's a fairly easy formula to do. What Highlander did very well was just say, wait a second, is this guy wrong? Is this girl wrong? Is this woman wrong? Are these people wrong? Is this morality better than this morality? Or is it just
changing? And if you want to start a fight on Facebook, ask those questions. Yeah. I'm sorry, but like anytime they bring that episode up, it just gets vitriol.
If you want a good story with Richard Martin filming that scene of the quickening there in Vancouver for the Valkyrie, he's got a really good story about stuff catching on fire.
And we will probably hear it on the weekend. But that's great. And it's interesting that various people, I think, over the years, even within the production, will have different opinions. This is the wonderful thing. These stories make people who make the show think, I'm not sure I agree with that or disagree. And that's why we're still talking about it, you know, two decades later.
So one of the things that is really cool about this event is you've made it extremely affordable. You weren't going to charge like individual tickets for panels and stuff. You're like, you know what? Let's just give them one flat fee and you can buy tickets on the Highlander Worldwide. There is a section for tickets and it says the cost for attending the 2-day event is $30, which will gain you access to the full slate of panels and talks, as well as an opportunity to browse guest booths. Those who pay the event registration will also be able to watch the recording of those panels, whether or not they originally participated. This will be for a limited time. So I got to ask you, how did you come up with $30? It's awesome.
Well, one of the sad truths about conventions is frequently they don't, the physical conventions is they don't cover costs. You know, people, the people who run conventions for money, I mean, obviously there's the big business, huge business side of it, but the people who run the smaller conventions who run it for money don't often, I'm picking my words carefully, but those are not always the most successful conventions if the person's just doing it, you know, to make a quick
Lakeland.
Profit. That's not the way. Anyway, I couldn't possibly comment on certain southern regions of the United States that attempted to do that, that have lakes. But it's
in land.
In all honesty, it is to choose for without that side. It is incredibly difficult for people with the best of intentions and the good people. You know, good people who try and do it. It's littered with events that just don't work because there are so many expenses. You know, you are gambling to a point. You know, when you have to often book hotel rooms as a convention before you know whether you can fill them. You have to announce the convention before you have every single person locked in because you have to work out a bit. So there's so many things that can go wrong. With this, as I said earlier, there's a technical side of it and there's the guests and the attendee side of it. People don't have, as an attendee, have to travel. They don't have to book a hotel. We don't have to book rooms, you know, in a hotel. We don't have to.
You don't have this overhead.
Yeah, you don't have to spend a fortune bringing people in from other countries. which, you know, if you've ever, you know, if you, next time you, if we ever do travel between countries again, you know, you'll realize how expensive that can be. And if, yeah, exactly.
Fingers crossed.
Certain people in this conversation have an added incentive as to wanting to fly as soon as possible. So yeah, so there are so many things. So we said, okay, slide that off. What are the things we need? So we need to make sure that the expenses of the technical side are covered. You know, most people, you know, in fact, all the guests are giving their time because they don't have to be flown out. So they're, you know, they've been very gracious with that. So we said, okay, let's price this as something where we're not profiteering. You know, we're not trying to make a quick buck, but we need to make sure that we cover everything. But that's largely it. And that seemed a good price. That seemed a price where we're saying, you know, that's not going to break anybody's, you know, bank. To do that, it seems worth it. I think we could have charged more, but I think we all agreed that that was a good figure that everybody could afford. And that, as you say, will encompass every, you know, all the panels that we're doing, whether you watch those, if you, as long as you are somebody who signed up for it, you know, and paid for the registration, you can watch them as they happen. And for a limited time afterwards, which might be a couple of days or so afterwards, but we've worked out the software, so you will still be able to see it for a couple of days after the event. And I think that's good. I mean, to be honest, $30, you would probably spend more than that going out for a meal.
That's like six Starbucks lattes.
Yeah.
There you go.
So, yeah.
So, it was important. If we were going to do this, we wanted to make it as accessible. The fact is some people have barely gone out of the house for 18 months. So if we're going to do it, we want to make as many people as possible, make this available to as many people as possible. And the way to do that, you've got to make it affordable for everybody. And I think we have done that. I think we'll be great value for
them. Well, I think also for all the guests, it's going to make it easier for them to sell the merch, you know?
Exactly. And all of them are doing, almost all our actors are busy doing things. They're, you know, very lucky and stuff, but you know, most of these people are still working regularly in the business, either behind the scenes, sometimes doing other things. But they're busy doing things. So it is an opportunity. And I think this is important as well. We're celebrating Highlander, but we're also celebrating the guests. So they'll all have opportunities to talk about what they're doing at the moment. You know, and capping people up to date, talk about the things that they care about. And because there's 20 years of experience, of a career between the Highlander experience and now. That's what I'm kind of, you were saying, asking what I was kind of looking forward to. I'm just as interested in the non-Highlander questions that will come up as I am the reminiscence about the actual production itself.
That's great.
Speaking of still working, Richard Ridings, I found out this weekend, I'm taking care of my niece and nephew. They came up to visit me for my birthday.
Yeah.
I had no idea he was the voice of the dad on Peppa Pig.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. How...
You so need to get out more.
Yes, I so need to get out and watch Peppa Pig. No, and they're doing impressions of him. And I'm like, where did you hear that? They're trying to do impressions of him. And of course, he's got that deep voice. They're trying to do bacon.
I have breaking news for you as well, Lee. He has a daughter who's very good at singing.
Really?
Oh, yes. Yes.
All the cool kids are listening to her. Just wanted you to be on the ground floor of this.
Yeah, she's very talented. She's very talented. I wanted to ask you about these panels. I know you guys are still working on them. I know you don't have a schedule set yet. Can you give us an idea other than I know the guests will have their panels, of course. Mm-hmm. But what other panels are you looking at possibly doing? What opportunities are there for guests?
Right now we're looking, as you said, the schedule is still wide open a little bit. One of the reasons for that is because people are scattered over different time zones. So we are making sure at the moment when people are going to be available. Because obviously we have 20, I think it's around 20 guests now. And not all of them can do, you know, 8 hours every day. So some of them are in Europe, some are in America. So we have to work. The reason we haven't got the schedule so far is because we've got to make sure that you know, this person is available when this person is, if we want to do a panel about maybe a certain episode. But the plan is to have quite a few panels where we do have more than one person, where we can talk about certain episodes. I mean, we've got episodes like the Valkyrie, where effectively, you know, you've got the director, two stars of that, and it's a key episode. director. It's, you know, there's a whole, it's great. And the panels I'm looking forward to are when you can bring three or four people in to have different points of view. We're going to have Steve Gagan and then as well. So he has a different perspective about, you know, about what he needs to do to make an episode work and look great. So and he's been, you know, he's been busy on Lucifer. That's just, you know, I think it was, and also Snowpiercer, which is season three, which has just been announced for that. So there's all these people who have different perspectives from their career, what they're doing now. And those are the panels that interest me the most, the way you can actually bring those different perspectives in and talk about one episode. So that's one of the big plans, to take maybe two or three episodes and bring various people in to talk about those episodes from their different perspectives. But we have, you know, we have a certain limited amount of time. We have only 2 days. Right. And so we'd love to have like every single person, you know, have an hour panel. It's logistically, you know, not possible to do that. Our panels will probably be between about 30 to 45 minutes, probably going more towards the 45 minutes, particularly for the multi-people panels. The same way there would be at a physical convention, right. To be honest. We've just got so much to fit in that some panels, as you know, will probably have to run opposite each other. We can do that with this software. We can have effectively two stages, which is one of the advantages over a physical convention.
What excites me is about this lobby thing you have. Can you expand on that a little bit? Because that would reminds me of the 2017 convention where you never knew who was going to show up in the lobby of the hotel drinking away.
It could happen. Yeah, we mentioned before we're using the software that Adrian Paul uses for the Sword Experience virtual events, and one of the great things about that is you have speaking very much in layman's terms, and I'm a layman when it comes to this kind of technology. You have the stage areas, the events where you would go and see these you know, the videos and the audio of everything happening, but you also kind of have a downtime area. Where you effectively, to best describe it, you've got a room or like a graphic where you can go to sit at different tables, and you can join with a whole group of other people at that table. You can effectively move from table to table when there's a space, and you just chat with other fans, and it's like a chat room. I believe you could probably do that both in a writing capacity and with a visual side of it, I think, as well. Depending on what's happening at what time.
Great.
So, for me, conventions are just as much about meeting the people and fellow fans as they are about the guests. You know, that one of the highlights of, you know, 2017 was after the event finished, sitting down, you know, with you guys, with Grant Kempster, with Kareem, with John Bealey, and just shooting the breeze. So it's not quite as great as sitting in the bar. You know, you won't have somebody bringing you a nice little appetite or anything like that. But the principle's the same. You know, it's just like, oh, look, I recognize, you know, there's that name I recognize. Let's go and sit at that table and have a chat. And I think that's because not just as much as the guests won't be, you know, every single guest won't be on every single panel. People will want to take a breather as well, probably at some point, you know, and go, oh, you know, oh, so-and-so, I promised to meet them up, and maybe take 20 minutes and go out into the, you know, lobby area and have a chat with them and then come back in. It's going to be like a
convention. I'm so glad you guys are doing that, because I think that's really important, because there's a lot of Highlander fans that haven't met each other. And I think this is a great opportunity to do that. And I think that's awesome. I did want to mention that. Once you pay your $30, obviously you have access to all of this as well. But is it true that we will also have access for a limited time to watch these in case we've missed them, or if we want to watch them again after the event?
Yes, exactly. Because there's so many things that are going on, we may have to run some panels simultaneously just to make sure everything fits in. Yeah, we're going to try and, you know, and do that as little as possible when it comes to some of the bigger stuff. But the fantastic thing is when you've got something like this, it's you know, it's the double-edged sword of everything being so really good but fitting it in. So what we will have, when you pay the registration fee, you will be able to watch some of the panels that you've missed. As I say, for probably about 48 hours, the software allows us to do that. We're going to try and collect that and, you know, maybe use it again at some point down the road. But this is the only way we can do it at the moment. So there will be like 48 hours after the panel where you can watch it. So if you've missed something and somebody says, oh, it was great, you know, when they did that, you can go back and watch that as part of your registration. And that registration fee, as you say, covers all the panels. We were looking into trying to see if there's any side events that we could add. I don't know if that's going to happen at the moment, anything sort of special. If there is, we'll announce it before the event. That might incur an extra little, sort of token fee. But you, once you pay for the weekend of the registration, you are covered for every panel that will happen. You have access to every panel that you want within that, to the merchandise booths that the talent, the actors and the behind the scenes people may be bringing in, access to the lobby. And I say we're hoping to throw a few fun things into the mix as well. We're just at this point sorting the technicalities out because it is very technical, some of the stuff.
Okay. Well, one of the things, if you could elaborate on a little bit, is the opportunity to browse guest booths. And does that include some possible merchandise that some of these guests might provide?
Yeah. As you know, quite a few people have done books or do autographs. It's a bit like having their table at a convention. You know, sometimes there's the potential for people to sign things for people, to personalize them. There's books, that people have written, some very good books, I hear, that people may want to purchase on the day as well. We haven't got any WatcherCon merchandise ourselves. It was because we've done this at fairly short notice. There was talk about doing that. It just seemed logistically that it's busy enough running a big convention. So right now, as things stand, we won't have any WatcherCon merchandise. Yeah, I'd love to do a T-shirt like I've done for the last ones, but I just don't think time frame we're going to be able to do that. We're looking into it, but I'm not sure that will happen.
Can I throw out an idea for the motto for the T-shirt? I like to watch, and then you can get people in trouble.
Yeah, well...
I love that.
Never interfere, though. Yeah.
Lee, did you have any other questions for John before we move on to a couple of closeout questions here?
Just an idea, because you've got some of the most iconics. If there was a bad guy panel, just those guys, because you've got like some of the most iconic. You've got Grayson, you've got Horton, and you've got two of the horsemen. I mean, you'd be hard pressed. Maybe Xavier St. Cloud is a better bad guy, or
It's certainly possible. Again, it will just be the logistics of the time zones. That's the only thing stopping us. And we have so many ideas. And then somebody will say, yes, it's 2 o'clock in the morning for them, and it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon for them, and that's when it all falls apart. But we're hoping that certainly the bad guy panel is something that we're considering at the moment. I think that will happen in some way, shape or form. Just who those people will be on that panel at the moment, we're not sure. So it's a matter, we just top it. Hopefully we should know in the next like 3 or 4 days exactly what people's availabilities are intended to be. And that way we will start joining the dots. We're going, that person can marry with that person, and that person with that person. Regardless, I know the ideas that we've got for various people to be teamed with other people at the moment seem to be working out well. So we want to put the schedule out, or the tentative schedule out, probably about 10 days from now, a week and a half or so before the event, 2 weeks. So that people have an idea, so they can plan their weekend as well, and so we can plan ours.
And will there be a costume contest? Because it doesn't feel like a con. Do you have a costume contest and end up making out with Sailor Moon in the corner?
We should really, shouldn't we? We should have a prize for the person who turns up in costume, appropriate costume. We should do that. I'll have to work with Carmel. Maybe that's something we could do.
Get a prize for inappropriate costumes too.
Yeah, I've seen you wear some crazy stuff, so, EPPG,
and the inappropriate costume goes to Lee Fillingsness.
Who is doing jumping jacks in his kilt. Oh, my God.
Okay, so I...
Step away from the sporran. Step away from the sporran.
I have to ask you this, John, because whenever a con for Highlander ends, the big question is, when is the next one? Because we have some anniversaries coming up. I don't know if you remember this or not, but next year, 2022, is the 30th anniversary of the original Highlander TV series debuting. Mm-hmm. And then soon after that, we've got the 40th anniversary of the original Highlander. Are you going to judge and see how this goes? And maybe you might do it again to celebrate something later on? Or you know,
it's always a possibility. Again, it's like we said at the end of the 2017 convention, you have to sort of think of all the reasons it would be a good idea and all the reasons it would be an insane idea. So you kind of have to look at it. We always want to. I mean, I think in the decompression days right after a convention, you just want to curl up in a corner and, you know, smile a little bit, but, you know, never do it again because that was great. Fine. But let's, you know, then you start saying, oh, I kind of miss it. It's like if you ever done amateur dramatics, it's the whole point of, you know, you finish the last night, it's the last night of your production and you're going, oh, thank God, it's, you know, it's, I can get some sleep now. And then after a few, you know, days, you miss it. You miss the people.
Yeah.
So I can, hand on heart, there are no plans for any physical events in the near future because everything out there at the moment is, you know, is still a little bit crazy.
Right.
And there's all the other reasons it takes a long time to put something together. Virtual events, we will look into, particularly after, you know, after this event, and see what other things we can do. I certainly think there's an avenue for doing that to some extent. But the world is slowly, hopefully, and I do not want to jinx this, edging back to what we would call normal. I'm not sure we're that close to normal yet, and I think it's a very good idea to be cautious. And to err on the side of caution. I'm quite happy to keep wearing a mask, you know, when I'm out, if I need to, for as long as I need to. And Adrian's doing his solo experiences, proving that you can do events which are, you know, which can be responsible and, you know, people wear masks and still have a fantastic time. So physical events are not over. So, I mean, will there be another Highlander event at some point? I have to give you the same answer that in 2017 is if somebody comes up with a great idea and it logistically comes together, it would be fantastic. But I don't, but it's almost like, can we just get this one right and then have a lie down and, you know, just bring me a nice, you know, pat my face gently and bring me a nice beverage and I'll think about it. You know, I joke, Carmel and I joke all the time. You know, it's just like every so often, I'll just call and go, so we're doing another convention just to see your blood pressure, just to see the blood pressure go through the roof.
All right. So, you know, it's, we got a couple more questions for you here. You've mentioned Adrian's sword experience. It's been since its incarnation, it's been very successful for him. And it has been a wonderful thing for fans to participate in. You have also been assisting with this. Give us a little heads up on this.
Yeah, I'm just you know, just stepping in and helping a little bit and you know, knowing people across the US, I'm sort of calling some various people and just saying, okay, you know, if the sword experience is coming out that way, who do we need to speak to, you know, to tell, let people know it's going to be coming? And Adrian asked me to help with that and glad to do that. And over the next, you know, over the next few months, the next one is Colorado Springs. We're going to Baltimore, Maryland. There's a fantastic retreat. Going to go in Mexico in early December. And these are another thing that I think, you know, Highlander fans really like. It's something that's not in just one place. It effectively tours. Adrian and, you know, and his sword expert team are there showing you how to do stagecraft. You know, whether you are a beginner who goes, that looks really cool, to somebody who may have trained and actually know physically well what they're doing, but just wants that little bit more experience with somebody who has two decades of experience of doing that. And having that, you know, that one-on-one and that, you know, that team-on-team side of doing things in great venues. You know, the Stored Experience finds really good venues, puts the event on responsibly under COVID restrictions, quite often doing things outside, which, you know, for this time of year, the next couple of months is going to be great. It's going to be great to be doing stuff outside.
I can speak to that, what you were saying, as somebody with decades of martial arts experience and 18 years in film at that point. I had the absolute blast of my life, you know, just playing swords with Adrian Paul. You know, I mean, it's, you feel like a kid again.
It's great. I know, as Adrian said before, you know, there's something that never goes out of fashion with sword fights. You know, you might have big special effects, you know, in movies, and that's great, but there is nothing quite like that hand to hand with swords. That's why cinema keeps going back to it. And you have a day, you know, when you can spend with a group of people learning quite often scenes from movies and recreating those moves. And, you know, in often cases creating a video of that afterwards as your memento of the day. you know, to spend, you know, eight hours or so, you know, the full day doing that in a great venue with somebody who knows what they're doing, as they going around the country, you know, check out the website. It's, they will list you when it's, where it's going, what the various options are. There's different pricing.
The website is swordxp.com. Make sure you check that out. And yeah,
absolutely. And that's, if you go to the events side of that, it will tell you what's coming up next. I think there's about four or five events at least now between now, your beginning of August, to Christmas, and stuff planned for next year as well. It's an ongoing thing, but it's kind of a tribute, I think, to the Sword experience that they've managed to navigate through a time where, frankly, a lot of businesses that, you know, have gone under because the COVID restrictions.
Yeah,
you can't. You know, a year ago, you could not do what hopefully you can do now. But they've worked out all logistics, the distance between everybody. The venues, they've done really well in organizing that. And it's going from strength to strength. You know, they're going back to Colorado Springs. I think they were there earlier on this year. I think possibly that wasn't even the first time itself. That was a sellout. So this event that's coming up, I think it's the 14th, I'd have to check in the next couple of weeks. Yeah, there's still some availability on that, but last time it was a sellout because nobody does anything quite like
it.
And
it's you know, I myself have done it a couple times. I haven't done it as many as Priscilla Manriquez has.
There are some people who do every single one.
I don't think Adrian's done it as many as Priscilla has.
Well, that's great.
It's great. No, it's, I mean, that's first. We did Adrian did one of those at the LA event in 2017. Yeah. Sell out parts of the convention. We can't really do it as part of our convention. It wouldn't quite work out logistically. You know, you can maybe do it as a virtual thing between them, but they couldn't do it as part of, you know, I think of a bigger convention. Yeah. But that's really one of the only losses of ours, that we can't do that physicality. You know, Elizabeth did the Carters and stuff at the event as well. But yeah, I mean, it's a good time to be a Highlander fan. You know, you can go to our event without leaving the home. You get a chance to train with Adrian Paul for his events. You've got celebrations coming up, and you've got podcasts going on. It's a good time.
And not only that, thank you for leading me into the next question for you, John. It's like you've done this before.
Crazy.
Highlander is obviously going to be with us. Diehard fans will always be at the top of our fandom and be part of our lives. But it's starting to pop back into pop culture again, because we got a huge announcement that and the big development of the reboot film directed by Chad Stahelski is that we got Superman cast, Mr. Henry Cavill. We don't know who he's playing. But it might be the lead, because he's been kind of teasing about stuff. But what are your thoughts on the casting, and how are you feeling about the development of the reboot here?
It sounds fantastic. I mean, as you said, there are not a lot of firm details yet, but it seems, you know, that Henry Cavill is definitely part of this. And it's, when you have somebody like that, I think you have a situation where there's a certain amount of credibility that immediately comes with that casting. He's a well-liked actor. He's somebody with the stuff that he's done lends itself to heading in that direction. So it's like, oh yeah, if he just done obscure romantic comedies, we might be turning around and saying, you know, would he be the right person? And even then it would have been like, well, Michael Keaton was a comedian before he did Batman. But we have with Henry Cavill somebody who's got a track record, you know, who, if you look at an episode of The Witcher, you're going, I can kind of see this guy doing something like that, but isn't just being cast because of something like that. He also has a whole variety of different types of roles. And he's a fan. And frankly, while that's not a deal breaker, you know, I'd rather have somebody who's a pragmatist in some ways. It really helps when that pragmatist is a fan. And, you know, and Chad's a fan. He knows the series as well as the films. Henry Cavill knows the series as well as the films. I'm just kind of waiting for, you know, the official, you know, for the first official Henry Cavill comments. You know, that would be great to find out what he thinks. I know he's dropped hints. It would be nice to have, you know, that word out with a few more details, but it's still in the process. But no, it's a good time. You know, Highlander is a timeless idea. That's why it keeps getting new fans.
Yes.
You've probably noticed online as well that you get new people all the time coming in, you know, and signing and wanted to be part of it, who aren't necessarily our age. Sometimes they're in the 20s. They just discovered it for the first time. And, you know, I think it is that timeless thing. And it's a great, right now, there's so many bits and pieces working that you are looking for. There's something to look forward to now, rather than just the nostalgia, which there's been for a while. Now we can look forward as well as looking backwards. And it's a good time to run an event, whether it's a solo experience, whether it's watch a con, whether it's going to doing a podcast. It's a good time because there's so much we can speculate about as well as celebrate.
And speaking of new fans, my nephew hasn't seen anything yet, but he was hanging out at my house and he happened to see this book called Fearful Symmetry. And he read about half of it. And he's like, he wanted to know about Highlander because he was reading your book. And he's 11. He's a really smart kid. But your book convinced him like Highlander is something he wants to watch. So talk to his mom. I'm like, I think 11 might be a little too young for the movie. But the TV show, well, you know, we could have talked about it.
And once he's read Fearful Symmetry, John Melville's book, A Kind of Magic, would also be an perfect plug for somebody else.
But apparently you got to be named John to write a Highlander book. So there you go.
There you go.
And you have to be no, somebody named McLeod to get the prize. And you have to, your name has to start with K to get your head cut off.
Future's not bright for me. Well, that's John, thank you so much for coming on and giving us the lowdown for WatcherCon here.
Well, and thanks, thanks to people like Carmel, because I'm just the speaking voice. Carmel that's done that, and I also have to thank Kareem, at Davis Panzer.
Kareem's a great
because,
guy.
Because frankly, I can't think of a better ambassador, for within Davis Panzer for that kind of thing. He's been so supportive of our event and generally supportive. Definitely for the record, we couldn't do something like this unless Kareem was on board as well. And it's great that we have that kind of everything's coming together. Everybody's working together now. And I think that's when you produce the best things, when everybody works together for the betterment of the product, as it were, the betterment of the idea. And we've got great people over there, over here with you guys, fandom. It's great right now, to be honest.
Well, wanted to remind everyone, first of all, please head over to HighlanderWorldwide.com for all of the information that you're going to need for WatcherCon, including where to buy your tickets and the updated list of guests that they're going to add. And they're going to be adding more, so make sure you check in there. But John, I want to ask you how people can get a hold of you.
On Facebook, John Mosby. You'll see my face, sadly. And if that doesn't put you off, you can find me there. On Twitter, personally, I'm There Goes the Day. A lot of the reviews that I do that are independent of everything else are all you can find on echochamber.online. And of course, I'm around on the Highlander Worldwide Facebook page, on our official page, highlanderworldwide.com. It's not that hard to find me. I'm so far on the grid that you almost trip over me every time you go outside. So I'm fairly prolific in the good and bad way.
And your book, of course, can be found on Amazon, Fearful Symmetry, The Essential Guide to All Things Highlander. Please give it a
shameless publicist.
Yes, please buy it and please leave an awesome review as well. That would definitely help, John. We appreciate that. Lee, where can we find you on the interwebs?
Well, see, I'm still wanted by the government, so I survive as Soldiers of Fortune. But if you have a problem and no one else can help, and if you can find me, you might be able to hire the Lee team. Otherwise, you can catch me on Twitter and Instagram at The Way of the Way. I have to do something weird every time you ask me that question.
I love it.
When blatant publicity comes together.
My name is Kevin. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Spartan_Phoenix. And also make sure you check out our Bloody Kings Facebook page. We're going to be updating that with more information about WatcherCon. Bloody Kings is also on Twitter and Instagram. Make sure you check that out. Coming up next, by the way, and I don't know if you knew this or not, John, but we just released an episode where we have a new limited series of podcasts called The Fixening, where we go back and choose Highlander lowest rated episodes on IMDb. We pick one and we decide how we're going to fix it. We kind of rewrite it, do a last minute rewrite on it and make them better. And I think, Lee, we successfully fixed The Zone.
Well, I know our episode was more entertaining than The Zone was. So
give that a listen. And we have another one coming out. We're going to be talking about Fixing See No Evil. That was low rated, and so we're going to be checking that out as well. So, John, first of all, thank you so much for coming on. We really, really appreciate it, man.
No, thank you. It's always great, you know, to talk to you guys. And Bill Panzer used to say, you know, without you guys, you know, without everybody out there, there wouldn't be any of us. It's true for Highlander Worldwide. You know, we'd be shouting into the void if it wasn't for people who were interested and the people who keep the flame going. And you guys, this is part of the reason we do conventions, you know, and it's part of the reason we're still actively involved is because there's people out there who are as passionate as we are. So it's going to be great.
Awesome. Well, I'm Kevin on behalf of Lee and our special guest, John Mosby. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And join us again next time here on the Fandom Podcast Network for another episode of Bloody Kings, the Highlander Podcast. Please head over to Highlander Worldwide, buy your WatcherCon tickets. And that sensation you are feeling is the quickening. We are one. We are immortals. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. We'd like to continue to feed your ears by inviting you to listen to these other great shows on the Fandom Podcast Network. It starts with our flagship show, Culture Clash, discussing the latest in entertainment pop culture. Bloody Kings, Immortals Take Notice, our show covering the entire Highlander universe. Couch Potato Theaters, where we celebrate our favorite movies. Time Warp, the Fandom Flashback podcast discussing a year in movies and our favorite retro movie and TV pop culture topics. Good Evening, discussing all things Alfred Hitchcock. Union Federation, our Star Trek and Orville show. Hair Metal, the 80s and early 90s rock metal podcast. Type 40, our show covering the time-traveling Doctor Who universe with host Dan Hadley. Lethal Mullet, an 80s and 90s action film podcast with host Adam P. O'Brien. Also check out the Lethal Mullet Network for more great podcasts. What a Piece of Junk, a Star Wars podcast with hosts Scott, Derek, and Nathan. Making Treks, a Star Trek podcast, a deep dive into the final frontier with hosts Mark Newbold and Adam P. O'Brien. And check out our newest shows, The Fandom Show, our monthly Fandom Podcast Network live YouTube exclusive show about the month's hottest topics in fandom, and the FPN True Believers MCU podcast, discussing the Marvel Cinematic Universe and the related Marvel television and streaming MCU universe, including the connections to the original Marvel comics. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on several platforms. Please subscribe to the Fandom Podcast Network YouTube channel to receive notifications of new podcast episodes and live events. You can enjoy all of the Fandom Podcast Network audio podcasts on our master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. The Fandom Podcast Network is on all major podcast platforms, including Apple Podcast and iTunes. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on Facebook. You can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. You can also find the Fandom Podcast Network on Instagram at Fandom Podcast Network and on Twitter at FanPod Network. Thank you for listening, and remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.